Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. Happy hump day, everybody. We got some day baseball going on. Hopefully you heard in the last segment. You got a couple minutes. You can still get it in. We are going to take Phillies. I trust Aaron Nola more than Lance Lynn, even though he pitched at Ole Miss. And I trust that Phillies lineup to actually finally get some runs. They were terrible yesterday. Cardinals got the dub. But I like the Phillies today. 12:15, that was the first pitch. And then the Dodgers and the Twins. We're hoping no runs in the first two innings. That total of 9 goes down. We get it like over 7. Both bullpens are terrible. Both teams can hit the long ball. The wind's blowing out. We're going to try and get 2 scoreless innings and then pound the over. Those are the first two games that we're going to play. Now, we're about to talk a little bit about some college basketball. The Cal situation, the Kentucky stuff, it still has me fascinated. More stuff has been coming out. It's finally official. Him in Arkansas. We're also going to talk about Dan Hurley, his comments about neon players, Penny, what he does. We got all kinds of good stuff to get to, but I wanted to remind y'all of something that I think's, you know, it's kind of important. April 20th is World Wing Fest. Did you hear what I just said? World Wing Fest on 420. It's downtown at River Garden Park. That's right, River Garden Park. You can head on down there. It's simple. It's downtown, by the river, easy, easy peasy, life is good. And guess what? All the proceeds go and help out the Ronald McDonald House. How do you get your tickets? Well, I'm glad you asked. WorldWingFest.com. You go get their general admission tickets. They're $15. Buy a few for your friends. Again, the proceeds go to the Ronald McDonald House, one of the best charities in Memphis. There's $10,000 in cash prizes for all the teams. There's $25,000 in cash prizes for the teams that have been competing for 5 years. There's going to be a whole lot of fun down there. Plus, there's going to be 2 stages, 2 bands playing, different bands on different stages. It's going to be just so much fun. Again, you're going to have a great time, and the sponsors are awesome. Big thanks to RS Financial Group, ATC Fitness, Corky's, Power Transportation, man. They have just some great sponsors. We're going to be down there in the VIP tent, by the way. You can get the $150 tickets. That includes a fully catered tent, all the food you can eat, and then all the Tito's you can drink, man. They'll have a more alcoholic beverage, but why would you go with anything other than Tito's? I'll be down there. T-Money, Brasky, Red, Pretty Chris. We're going to have a lot of fun. So it's the World Champion Wing Fest. It's the World Championship Hot Wing Festival and Contest. So, yes, it's a festival. It's a contest. It's a lot of fun, and it's all benefiting the Ronald McDonald House. Get your tickets today, worldwingfest.com. All right, Mr. Dacus, some news was breaking yesterday. I'm sure you and Brett probably talked about it. It is now official. Cal is going to Arkansas. It's we've been talking about it since Sunday night. It was made official yesterday. Some more stuff is leaked out. And there's just some stuff that I feel like is going on, like that people are spewing that I just feel like is completely false. And it all has to do with how big of a, basically a desolate, terrible part of the country that he's going to. Can you believe he's going to Arkansas? I can't believe he's going to Arkansas. Yes, Kentucky is one of those programs that has been the creme de la creme. And for Big Blue Nation, which is annoying as hell, they have a whole lot of support. But according to the AP report that I was reading this morning, Kentucky's NIL initiative only for basketball, because they have, of course, they pool all their money and they divvy it up. But then they also have a small collective that is, their goal is to raise $1 million a year. As of right now, at this moment, their goal of raising $1 million, they've only met $50,000. They don't have their coach. Cal is taking that whole number two recruiting class in the country to Arkansas, people. And again, Arkansas is in the SEC. Eric Musselman brought them back. And it's the NIL era. Who's got more billionaires? Kentucky or Arkansas? You got the Waltons. You got Tyson Chicken. You got Jerry Jones. Those three dudes by themselves could fill up that $1 million NIL initiative at Kentucky. But the problem is, they're Arkansas people. You bring Cal over. You and that whole fan base in Arkansas is so freaking excited. My man has been to Final Fours with Memphis, with UMass, with Kentucky, has a chip. They're going to spend money. They're going to be elated. Their football program is terrible. All eyes on hoops. I think this is a great situation for Cal. I'm not saying 100%. I'm not saying like that he's going to make a Final Four. I'm not saying he's going to win a championship. But you know who's going to be excited if he makes a Sweet 16? Arkansas fans are going to be elated. Guy, he wins a chip, he'll go down as a legend. And again, Cal knows how to get guys to the NBA. His time at Kentucky. Do you know how many young fellas he sent to the NBA?
A ton. He had, what, 35 first-rounders?
30. I thought it was 37. Maybe it was.
Might be 37.
35, I mean, 37.
Tomato, yeah. Tomato.
Correct. He sent more first-round picks in the NBA over his 15-year span than any other coach in any other program, period. Now, again, it is interesting that with all that talent that Cal, you know, brought, he went 4-10, 123 in 15 years. That's 77% winning percentage. That's about 27 wins a year. Problem is he had one title, four Final Four appearances. Kentucky fan, Big Blue Nation, was not accepting that. Now, the last 4 years, these early round exits been terrible. But Arkansas, he goes down there and wins 27 games a year and makes it to the Sweet 16. They're going to go banana sandwiches. And guess what? Kids these days like money. They love it. Who doesn't love money? Who out there right now is like, nah, man, you know, I'm good. Keep your money, bro. I don't need it. Everybody wants more. Still want more money. Cal's got more money. The Arkansas fan base is going to be able to change. And again, this is where you look at Alabama with Nick Saban. He's gone. One of the reasons why? Because of the way the game's changed with NIL. Like now he can't just, it's not just about him getting people to the league, winning national titles. It's about how I got to pay this player and I got to re-recruit this player and do all these things. And guess what? Alabama's probably not going to have as much money as some of these other schools in the SEC. Yes, they're going to have a ton of money. But now like the playing field is a little bit level. And it doesn't necessarily always have to do with just the blue blood programs. Because I'm telling you right now, over the next few years, I think Arkansas might be better than Kentucky. Bringing Cal in, buku amounts of cash, $6 million already guaranteed. Are you kidding me? Now the question is, does Cal bring in the right type of players? Because one coach out there has figured out the recipe, and that's Dan Hurley. And it all ties in with Kentucky and Cal because all the reports coming out of Kentucky right now, especially if you saw some of the stories about, you know, Cal coming back to Kentucky and basically asking for a raise if he was going to stay. Did you hear that story?
Mm-hmm.
Like, one, I mean, that's insane to me. Like, that really is insane. Like, Mitch Barnhart is the athletic director for Kentucky. When Cal, if he made that phone call for real, do you think he was sitting there like put the phone down and was like,
probably.
This,
I mean, Mitch Barnhart hates
we're getting
Cal.
Out of a $33 million buyout. We need a new voice in here because Big Blue Nation is breathing down my throat and wants me fired. And he just got out of a $33 million to have to pay him to bounce. He can go spend that on a new coach. Yeah, I know he was probably laughing. And then there's also reports now, like you got Matt Jones, you got, you know, the Gabriel, the what's his first name? The dude for he's like the voice for Kentucky.
I have no idea.
Anyway, the point is he also put out some, you know, some stuff and said basically he said that they are going to – this is what he posted and put out there. He's the UK Sports Network play-by-play dude. He said, Kentucky's going to make Dan Hurley say no to him on multiple occasions, then reach out to Nate Oates.
Dick Gabriel.
Thank you, Dick Gabriel. I guess I forgot it because his name is Dick.
Maybe.
Maybe. Just doesn't, like, pop out in my head. Gabriel, though, Dick, that is, said that he's going to make Dan Hurley say no multiple occasions, then reach out to Nate Oates. Then they're going to Scott Drew, Todd Golden, or T.J. Olsenberger. Now, Dan Hurley, I understand 100% making him say no. I get Nate Oates, too. You know, just went to a Final Four, shoot threes, get to the rim. Who knows? It could be interesting up there. Scott Drew, Baylor, totally understand it. T.J. Golden, 38 years old, barely been at Florida for a while. He's ahead of T.J. Olsenberger. Mm. That's kind of impressive. Now, Todd Golden is somebody I feel like Kentucky could definitely go get. I also think – I think Scott Drew. I don't think TJ is leaving Iowa State. Do you?
No, probably not. But like you said, I don't think they – I don't think they have to get to that far down the list.
But, you know, Kentucky's going to go out there and do their thing, find who it is. But I'm saying Arkansas with Cal is going to be beautiful. But the question is what kind of kid are they going to bring in? Is Cal going to continue to bring in lottery talent, young, over to Arkansas? Or is he going to maybe go and take a different approach? Because Dan Hurley was talking about his approach and the type of players that he goes out there to get. And I thought it was fascinating. He says that when you're trying to recruit players, when you're looking for kids to come – and play your school, you don't want anybody that's what he calls a neon player. They have, like, if a neon player is somebody that's been on several different travel teams, have transferred to four or five different high schools. They tell on themselves because they drop little hints about things that you want them to give you. They have usually a bunch of handlers around them. He's like, you get the wrong kind of kid. You bring one wrong kid in your inner circle, and all the players around them, that one kid can sink the program. He said, yeah, he goes after NBA talent. But he steers clear from all neon players because he says it only takes one to ruin them all. I think that's a genius philosophy. I think it's also... he's blessed that he's at UConn and can demand that and that program get the respect. I mean, again, let's not forget they lost their top three scorers from the first championship last year. Or they're not their first. They've had six since 99. But the most recent one, not the one they just – the last year's. Lost their top three scorers, lost five of their top eight scorers, bring in a new crew, and this team might have been even better. Share the basketball, everybody. I mean, different star every night. They run their roles. They run one of the most sophisticated offenses I've ever seen. They run different sets. They run plays out of timeouts. They can play fast. They can play slow. They can play with their back to the basket. They can play up and down. He coaches the hell out of them. But he's also not just coaching the hell out of them. He's bringing the right kind of kid that can get coached hard. That's going to put the team before himself. That's the kind of guys you also want in the NBA. That's why he gets NBA talent. That's why he puts guys into the association as well. Is Cal going to get that type of caliber player? Is he going to get more guys that are pointing at the name on the back of their jersey? We'll find out. It's going to be fascinating. But I thought that was a trip, and it did make me think to myself about Penny. Because Penny brought in JQ. and look at the difference. I mean, you heard Nate Oates talking about how grateful he was to not have Javon Quinterly on his team. How he was so excited that he didn't have to motivate his point guard. Brings in a guy named Mark Sears. Did you see what that kid did? Brought in a non-neon player. Penny had a few neon players. Malcolm Dandridge, for somebody who's not a highlight reel, he sure thought of himself as something special. He brought down that locker room. JQ was a very selfish player, brought down that locker room. You had more than just one neon player on the Tigers this year. Avoiding neon players is probably going to be the hardest thing to do in this era. It's going to be really difficult. I mean, hell, we think about it. I can think of a lot of neon players that Penny has brought into this program.
Sure.
Like, every year they have more than one. Dan Hurley says, I can't have one of them on my team because that one can sink the whole damn program. Cancer spreads. Negativity is contagious. People bitching about their role makes other people start thinking. People bitching about the way they're coached, about how the fans don't appreciate them, or they don't get this, or they don't get that. When you constantly are looking at the glass half empty, you don't realize it's half full, and you act a damn fool. And the program ends up having like a top 10 ranking and then completely falling off the freaking rails. So, man, I don't want any more neon players. Thank you, Dan Hurley. I think that was very insightful. It's going to be interesting to see what type of player Penny's bringing in for next year. And I got to give Penny credit in a lot of aspects. I mean, he is loyal to a fault.
Absolutely.
And he does love his kids, which is important. Cares for him. I mean, he has so many great qualities. But sometimes you just have to know that in order to create a team and help 15, sometimes you have to leave that one guy out or that other guy out. Maybe immensely talented, but it's for the betterment of the program and the team. A lot of neon players been through this program lately. A lot of neon players out there all over the country. Dan Hurley's UConn team didn't have any neon players. 2 years in a row, they cut down the nets. And the boys in Vegas, by the way, did you see that they're already favored to win it next year?
Where'd you see that?
I mean,
at UConn? Oh, I saw them at the second best odds.
The other day I looked at it, they had them number one.
Wow, maybe they're moving. Maybe people are are picking them already.
I was going to say, I looked at them already, and they were the number one. It was like the odds are still terrible, though.
Sure. Well, I mean,
like, don't bet it.
It's the day after the draft, days after the draft.
But the other thing I wanted to bring up, now that we've talked about our coaching, hell, let me know what you think. 901-360-8255, 901-360-8255. Hit me up at the Sissy's Log Cabin text and listener line. Life's too short for ordinary jewelry. Let me know what you think about the neon player situation, Memphis, Cal, Arkansas, whatever. Also want to know, what do you think about this? Did you see the numbers for the national championship game?
I did not, no.
Bro. Like, I don't know if it's because the time. Like, 8:20 or 9:20 Eastern is a pretty bad time to start, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's terrible. Like, that game, like, I mean, 8:20 was annoying as hell for me. I couldn't imagine being on the East Coast at 9:20 at night. You're like, man, I got to work tomorrow. Game hadn't even started. Only 14.8 million people watched the national championship.
Wow.
Do you know how many people watched the women's national championship?
Was it like 18?
18.9 million.
Wow.
The women outdrew the men by 4 million. Holy cow. That is... I mean, that's shocking. Like, I kind of hinted yesterday that it could happen. And then I got out there and I was like, man, I mean, 20 million people watched it. If 20 million people watch the girls on Sunday at 3 o'clock, 20 million people are going to tune in on Monday. Nope. The women outdrew the men. Do you think any of this also has to do with the fact that, one, Caitlin Clark is the craziest thing in the world, but also because people can gamble on these women's games now?
Sure, yeah.
Like, I got all up in some women's basketball. Remember, I went like 6 weeks where I was watching every dead-gum women's game day on Sundays and betting Sunday basketball on the women's, leaving the men's alone. Men was on Saturday. The women's was on Sunday. And Caitlin Clark is huge. I mean, I don't know. I almost fell over when I saw that. Is it more of the fact that it was UConn and Purdue, and a lot of people didn't think Purdue had a chance? And UConn did it the year before. Everybody just expected to do them last year. Do you think it had more to do with the fact that the Caitlin Clark has become so iconic, and a lot of people who don't even care about sports had tuned in to watch her? Or do you think it could have had more effect of, like, a lot of people on the East Coast couldn't wait up till 9:20?
I mean, it could be a little bit of both. I certainly think a lot of people have been drawn to Caitlin Clark and who she is and what she's done this year. But also, I mean, you had one of the greatest big men we've seen in college basketball in a really long time,
Zach Edey,
going in that game. And so it is kind of troubling that you didn't have a great showing. And you'd already seen, there have been a lot of people talking about how good the ratings were in weeks prior for the NCAA tournament. So, yeah, maybe start time had something to do with it. But, you know, that's the thing of, like, you know, what are you going to do if you're the NCAA? I mean, I guess you got to stop having it on the West Coast, because you can't really start earlier for the West Coast than 8:20, because then it's
Monday,
5 o'clock there,
like,
on a
traffic.
Monday. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's almost impossible for those people. So maybe you just have to keep it on the East Coast and in the Central time zone, and then maybe once every 5 years or so, go to one of these West Coast venues and just have that kind of one random late night start. I don't know how you do it, but certainly Monday night when you're playing in Arizona or Los Angeles or Vegas, somewhere like that, it's really hard to have a good start time where everyone can watch.
Man, I'm just still shocked that they – I mean, when if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that the women's national championship game was going to outdraw the men's by 4 million people, I'd have told you that you have been smoking crack.
Yeah.
And that crack is whack.
That crack is whack. John, I have good news and I have bad news. Which would you like first?
Give me the bad news so you can knock me down, but then you're going to pick me right back up.
Perfect. We already have two runs scored in Dodgers and Twins. Both teams scored runs.
Well, we didn't bet on it
in their first inning. I know, but so, I know you were hoping that would...
You know what? Now I feel like I should have just bet the over the nine and stopped being
maybe,
a baby.
Maybe.
Good. I was thinking, though, that they were going to score more runs
sure.
on the bullpens
sure.
than they were on the starting pitchers.
Right. But Bobby Miller, you never know what kind of Bobby Miller you're going to
get. Yeah, he's young, man. Young guys, you never know.
Good news, Philly's already up 2-0.
Yes, that's the only one I bet on. So, yeah. What's up? What's up with my Phillies, man? So, by the way, you really did knock me completely down.
You're welcome.
You just kind of, like, made me sad that I didn't just take over the nine. And
how about
then you
that?
Said made me feel great for taking the Phillies. So, thank you. I hope I make you laugh on the other side, because it's Hardenwood on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
All the wisdom of the universe is in these bones.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. I hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. There's day baseball on. We're feeling good because everybody here's got the Phillies, baby. Phillies, 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 Phillies. They're up 2-0 currently.
Well, you have the Phillies.
Oh, you didn't take them?
No.
Oh, so you don't listen to my bets?
Well, I mean, if you said something that wasn't a team against the Cardinals, I'm not going to bet against my team.
Okay. I always
blasphemy.
Yeah, it would be bad, I guess.
How would I be able to wake up and look at myself in the mirror and call myself a fan?
Simply just be a fan with a little bit thicker wallet.
Well, I guess so.
Now, we have day baseball on, and I love watching baseball. And when I'm watching baseball, you know what I always think of? I think of hot dogs, man.
Mm.
I'm in the mood for a split dog. Have you ever had a split dog from Dyer's?
I've not, no.
Oh, my gosh. The split dog. They call them the split dog because they're two all-beef premium hot dogs, split down the middle, open-faced, and crisscrossed on a hamburger bun. You can get the split dog original, mustard, pickle, and onion. You can get the slaw dog, the New York style dog with spicy brown mustard, sauteed onions, and a little sauerkraut. The Chicago style dog, mustard, relish, peppers, tomatoes, and pickle. Or the one that I love is the chili cheese dog. Bro, put that homemade chili, a little cheddar cheese on top of the split dog, hamburger bun. Get some onion rings to go with that bad boy. Man, you can get it not just downtown, but out in Collierville, Dyer's historic town square. It's very, very easy to find. If you don't know where that is, just punch in 101 North Center Street in Collierville. It'll take you right there. They're open 10:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. every single day. You can call them to place a to-go order, 901-850-7750. You can go online to dyerscafe.com. You can look at their entire menu. You know they got the world-famous burgers, the split dog just with the baseball on that got me craving. When it's hot outside, I love going over there and getting me a milkshake. They serve it the old-fashioned way with the shaker tin. I'm telling you, check out Dyer's. They've been doing it the right way since 1912. Head on over to Collierville's Town Square and tell my buddy Mark I said what's up. Let's go to Hardinwood.
This is Access Hardinwood.
Bro, there's some crazy stuff going on out there in the world. Did you know Michael Porter Jr.? For the defending champion, Denver Nuggets, sharpshooter, three-point extraordinaire, had some knee surgeries, bro.
He did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, man, lots of them. He'd probably be a superstar if he didn't have those issues.
That's right. And his brother has a gambling addiction.
No kidding?
Well, you know, he got caught with they're doing that investigation because he had those games where he, like, said he was too injured to play after playing and that they noticed that there were a lot of people taking the unders on those games. Like, that was the highest bet NBA prop those nights. That he played for, like, 2 minutes and said he was injured and had to leave the game and not be able to return. That, like, the unders on everything were coming in. So, Jante, they got after him.
Interesting. Did not even know that.
Former Grizzly, Jante Porter.
I mean, wow. Got to do my little research. Well, here's what I know about him. He does a podcast, okay? It's called Curious Mike.
All right.
And I think it's because his name's Michael.
Sure, why
not? He's curious. Well, he's had some interesting guests, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yep.
But do you know who his guest was? His latest guest this week, the last one he had, was Lana Rhoades.
Don't know if I'm familiar with her. Is she like
we would call her a former...
Is she an artist or something?
She's a former adult entertainer.
Huh, like makes movies and stuff.
Yes, naked.
Oh, I see.
Buck naked. Mm. I love the word naked.
It's a good word.
Like naked like doesn't buck, sound. Too. I don't like naked. I
put
like
them together. Naked. Buck naked.
Let's get naked. It's better than naked. Let's get naked.
What about nakey?
What? No, bro. That sounds like some Barney stuff, bro. No, dude.
Imagine poor like
Melinda.
A first Tinder date. Poor you're like, you want to take this to the naked? Bedroom and get nakey?
No, dude. She's leaving you right there. She's swiping. Huh. What is it? Swiping right on somebody else?
Is it left or right? Or left? I always get confused.
I don't know, man. Left, right,
up, down,
something like that.
I think you swipe up. You super like them.
Do they have that?
They do. They added that. Yeah, you super like somebody.
Whoa, man! I don't know if I would want to put myself out there on the super like because then they might think you want a relationship and this is more of a hookup app.
Yeah, that's you know you gotta
like,
be.
If somebody super like me, I'd be like, You know what? She might be a little nuts. Might be a little nuts. Well, anyway, back to Michael Porter Jr. I'm sorry. I don't know how we got off on that.
It's my fault.
The Curious Mike podcast had a former adult entertainer, Lana Rhoades, on there. Now, she said, like, shed some light on a few misconceptions surrounding her life, the challenges that women face that are in the industry.
Interesting.
How that they're looked on. And then she also talked about how she's dated a few NBA players.
Is she... Oh, wow, she's dated a couple NBA players.
She did, and you know what she said?
What?
She said NBA players have the most intense fetishes because normal things just don't do it for them anymore.
Interesting.
She said she doesn't like dating NBA players because one of them wanted to pee on her.
Gross.
Others did things I can't even bring up on the air.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't want to. You know, I want to still be have a job. And by the way, I don't know about this, but like, can you believe an active player is bringing on a player? I mean, a player. And they're talking about like dudes that are still in the league. They didn't name names, and then he comes out and says he 100% believes it. He stated that he said straight men in the league had done so much, like so many, like have done so much stuff with pretty women that hell, they get bored, and that's why some of them have even gone to the tees. This was Michael Porter who said that. He basically just outright like
he just outed the entire league. Like, I mean, what are you doing?
Like saying, man, like, man, sometimes these dudes in the NBA get so tired of pretty women that they want to go with dudes dressed as women.
Well, no, that's not what he did. He outed his teammates because I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's got good relationships with other guys in the league, but you're spending the most time, you're getting the most information with your teammates, you know? And so he's outing his teammates as you know, those activities.
Yeah, Lana Rhodes, by the way, she has a child with a NBA player.
Yeah,
she does.
But everyone thought it was Blake
fans
Griffin.
Fans believe it's either Blake Griffin or Kevin Durant.
But I don't think it was. I think we learned it was
well,
not.
We've learned it's not Blake Griffin's, but in 2021 when she had the child, everybody said it was either Blake Griffin's or Kevin Durant.
That's
does the fingers now go straight to Kevin?
Maybe. I feel like we learned more about that like a month or two ago, but I don't remember.
We just
now.
Learned that it wasn't.
Is that what we learned? I thought we learned it was somebody's. Never mind.
But anyway, she said that she would, like, outside of her baby daddy, the reason she only slept with, by the way, she only slept with her baby daddy in the NBA. She dated a couple other NBA players, and she didn't sleep with them because she said their fetishes were so intense and crazy that she was
couldn't
like, sorry, y'all, you are weird.
Wow.
Like, dude, she's a porn star. She says, you're freaky.
Wow.
That's kind of crazy. And then Michael Porter Jr. calling out. And basically, all I started thinking was like, damn, that's what's up with Dwight Howard.
I guess so.
Well, Lana called out the NBA. And then guess who else called out the NBA?
Who?
Oh, my goodness. Where did you go? There it is. Gilbert Arenas. I wanted to say it was Gilbert, but then I didn't want to screw up. Finally, my dead gum thing opened.
He's got a podcast, speaking of podcasts.
Well, he was on his podcast, and he made some very interesting, very, very interesting comments about also NBA players. And Gilbert claims that he knows that the average NBA player probably spends about $60,000 a month on the women he sleeps with. Now, it's not one that he pays $60,000. He says it's usually like three of them that each get $20,000 a month. And like they're in different cities, and that's just, you know, like they're not their wife or their girlfriend. But they're, you know, spending about $60,000 a month on their side pieces. And then Gilbert goes on to say that it's not just about that. He says, you have to understand, these aren't just girls that start dating him. He said, like, you don't hear about NBA players about sexual harassment claims. And that's because they deal with only go-get-it girls. And go-get-it girls are usually dealing with four to five NBA players at the same time, and that the NBA players know who all the go-get-it girls are.
Interesting.
And then they say they have different levels of go-get-it girls.
Interesting.
Like superstars, like the creme de la creme, Gilbert says, they don't like their girls sleeping with anybody that's not also a superstar.
Interesting.
Like if you are sleeping with a bench player, the superstars will leave you.
Wow.
So there's levels to the go-get-it girls. Like you have the C level, which is bench players.
Okay.
You have the B level, which is players that are, you know, contributing to a role. And then you have the A go get it girls who are 100% only with superstars. And I just have to say, this is crazy to me. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an Eskimo brother with the entire league. Like, Eskimo brothers is something that should happen organically. Like, you find out, like, oh, we're Eskimo brothers.
You're, like, hanging out one day, and you're like, yeah, you remember that girl I used to hang out with? And this one,
oh,
I was like,
God,
oh,
oh
yeah,
my God, yeah,
yeah.
Like, it's organic.
Sure. And then you're like, whoa, connection.
Yeah. But you don't sit there and be like, you know what? Hey, let me introduce you to my girl. We can be Eskimo brothers. You know what I'm saying? She takes $20,000 a month. That's it. She's going to keep a hush-hush with you and your girl and your family. And no sexual harassment charges. She's a go-get-it girl.
Interesting.
I didn't even know go-get-it girls existed.
John, you're teaching me something new.
Dude, these damn podcasts are teaching me new things all the time.
I guess so. The good thing of podcasts, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Hmm.
Don't you think?
I guess so. There's a lot of them. Take you forever to listen to all of them.
Yeah, that is true. Now, there's some very disturbing news out there.
Huh.
T-Sizzle. You remember Terrell Suggs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, he's in a little bit of trouble.
Okay. I didn't see this. I have no idea what you're talking about.
My man was booked in Maricopa County on two charges. One count of assault. One count of an offense against public order. And he's in a little bit of trouble because, according to police records, T-Sizzle pulled out a gun and threatened somebody on March 10th.
Wow.
He's a big dude.
He is.
Like, I don't know if he needs a gun. I mean, I guess, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the other person had a gun, but I mean, it doesn't sound like it. But Terrell Suggs arrested in Arizona for going the bleep off. But that's not one of the wild things that I saw, because the guy who I know is crazy is Antonio Brown. I didn't know Antonio Brown did this. I just ran across this from the TMZ, you know? I love TMZ, by the way. You like TMZ?
I know it's your favorite.
It's the TMZ Sports is what the one I check out. But Antonio Brown does Cracker of the Day. Did you know that?
No, I do know that, yeah.
I did not know that. I think it's hilarious. So here's what he put on his X. He says, "We got a lot in common at Morgan Wallen." And then he put Morgan Wallen's mugshot up. And it says, "Cracker of the Day, hashtag CTESPN.
That's right.
Dude, that is pretty funny. And I didn't know he does a cracker of the day every day.
I don't think it's every day, but it's like every once in a while.
So who was one of his other crackers of the day?
Jack Golkey's been cracker of the day.
The guy for Oakland who beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
How apropos is that?
He's had a couple of
Because we talked Cal today in Kentucky and him going to Arkansas.
That's right. So look at us. We're in the know about Antonio Brown.
He says that he's got a lot in common with Morgan Wallen.
Well, why, though? Did he specify why?
He said because they're both crazy.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I'm starting to think Morgan Wallen is a little nuts, isn't he?
Yeah. I don't think
he's a big star, though.
He's massive. He's like the biggest star in country music right now. Maybe one of the biggest stars in music in general.
I kind of forgot one thing. I forgot to say where he brandished the gun.
Oh, yeah.
T-Sizzle went into a Starbucks through a drive-thru when the incident
Whoa,
happened.
Whoa, I love
getting
Starbucks.
A coffee. Nothing looked like a trouble, and then a man gets out of a vehicle, and next thing you know, he pulls out a gun and basically tells him he's going to fill him full of holes.
Wow. How about that?
At a Starbucks. Like, who's getting
Crazy.
Into an argument at a Starbucks? Like, usually you're half asleep, you're trying to get your caffeine on, right?
That's right.
Like, you're like, it was a. Can I get a coffee?
Look, I've only dealt with the Starbucks here. But, like, every Starbucks employee that I've interacted with.
It's like super nice.
So friendly. They know that you're just. You need your caffeine. So they feel like. I feel like they think they've got to be in a chipper mood so that you can be in a chipper mood to, like, start your morning or start your day. And, so I would never think that would be the place that you go off and brandish a gun. How? Wow.
And the other reason, though, this is why ties in with the Antonio Brown situation. Because the other man, the one who T-Sizzle pulled the gun on when the man started walking towards T-Sizzle's car, he said he was walking to his car to confront him and ask him why he called him a petty-ass cracker.
Cracker of the day.
So, cracker of the day, wow, cracker. We got a lot of crackers in there.
Interesting.
So, 2024 word of the year, it looks like.
Maybe. Was that way like Webster Dictionary does their like word of the year? And
what was last year's?
I don't remember. But I think maybe cracker is this year's.
Well, we got
early nomination.
We got to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back, update you on how our baseball games are going, and then we're going to give you the last bets that we're going to place on the day. Don't touch the dial. Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio, hanging out with Brian Dacus. It's been a beautiful, busy show. I think we've had a lot of fun. Very, very proud. We talked a lot of about Arkansas, Cal, Kentucky, Neon players, Dan Hurley, Penny. Had a little basketball. Talked some baseball, too, man. Gave you all the top six players under 25. Three of them have already had pretty damn good starts to their MLB career. One starting today in Jackson Holliday. Got teammates in Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday. Some good, good young players. But we have baseball going on right now. Dodgers and Twins still 1-1, middle of the third. Phillies and the Cardinals. Cardinals have scored, dead gummit. Now it's not 2-0. It's 2-1. Now you're rooting for the Cardinals. I'm rooting for the Phillies. And all the people out there that listened to me took the Phillies minus the 130. This afternoon, though, we have some decent baseball games that you can look at and possibly think of plays. I'm telling you right now, though, stay away from the NBA. I just I have no idea what to touch in the NBA at all. I do know that the San Diego Padres and the Cubs have had some weird stuff going on lately. Have you watched any of their action?
Yeah, well, I was watching the game, two nights ago? It was going on during the national championship game, and the Cubs were up like 8-0. And so I just stopped watching it. And then the next morning, my buddy texted
me. They lost 9-8.
Yeah, he texted me. He was like, dude, the Cubs lost last night. I was like, you're kidding. And he was like, no. And I looked it up. And it's crazy.
It was nuts. But then you have yesterday, like all of a sudden, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, man, the Padres who've had Yu Darvish on the bump, he's been phenomenal to start the season, right?
Yeah.
Padres' big favorite. Cubs bust him open.
Yeah, crazy.
They beat up the Padres 5-1. Well, they're playing again today. And I'm going to tell you something. You know who I like? I like the Cubs.
Okay.
The Cubs lost that first one after going up 8-0. I don't know how the Padres escaped with that 9-8 victory, to be honest with you. Again, it was 5-1 yesterday. They're the better hitting team. Like, Dylan Cease is going to be on the mound. It's his third start coming over from the White Sox. He's pitched well. But I'm telling you, I can't imagine Hendricks continuing to struggle. I think the Cubs plus the 130 is a great value. This is a team that's hitting the cover off the baseball. And I don't know what it is about the Padres. I just don't like them. I don't think they have a great bullpen. I don't think their lineup's constructed very well. I don't know, man. I just think that plus 130, you got to jump on the Cubbies. That's 5:40 first pitch from Petco Park. Hopefully our Phillies are going to hold on for us. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm also looking forward to watching the Orioles tonight against the Red Sox. I don't know what I'm going to do with the game. Probably a little in-game baseball because I do want to see Jackson Holliday's debut. I hope y'all have a wonderful hump day. For Dacus, I'm John. Get out there, make the world a better place. We'll see you on the flip side. Peace.